All right, here with chapter two of Benson and Harper's Introduction to Paleobiology and the Fossil Record. Chapter two, titled Fossils in Time and Space. Key points. Scientists began to study the order and sequence of geologic events during the Renaissance when artists rediscovered perspective. Lithostratigraphy is the establishment of rock units, forming the basis for virtually all geological studies. Lithostratigraphic units are displayed on maps and measured in sections. Biostratigraphy, using zone fossils, forms the basis for correlation, and it can now be investigated using a range of quantitative techniques. Chronostratigraphy, global standard stratigraphy, is the division of geological time into workable intervals with reference to type sections in the field. Cyclostratigraphy and sequence stratigraphy can provide a more refined framework that can also help understand biological change. Geochronometry is based on absolute time, measured in years before present by a range of modern quantitative techniques. Paleobiogeography provides basic data to suggest and test plate tectonic and terrain models. Changes in geography allowed floras and faunas to migrate and major groups to radiate and go extinct. The rhythmic joining and breakup of continents through time has been associated with climate and diversity change. Fossils from mountain belts are significant in constraining the age and origin of tectonic events. Fossil data have also provided estimates for finite strain and thermal maturation. The Earth is immensely old, and the distribution of continents and oceans has changed radically over time. Early paleontologists did not know these things, and so they tried to pack the whole history of life into a relatively short span of time, visualizing trilobites or dinosaurs inhabiting a world that was much as it is today. Life on Earth, however, has been evolving for up to 4 billion years, and there has been a complex story of fossil groups coming and going and continents moving from place to place. How do we develop geographic and temporal frameworks that are accurate and reliable enough to chart the distributions of fossil organisms through time and space? Fortunately, paleogeographers and stratigraphers are now equipped with a range of high-tech methods, virtually all computer-based, that provide a greater consensus for models describing the distributions of the continents, oceans, and their biotas throughout geological time. Fossils also store information on the finite strain and thermal maturation of rocks located in the planet's mountain belts, allowing the tectonic history of these ranges to be reconstructed. Thermal maturation information is important in identifying levels of thermal maturity in rocks and the gas and oil windows in hydrocarbon exploration. In some cases, fossil shells also contain isotopes and other geochemical information that can identify changes in global climate. Frameworks. Quote, six distinct aspects of Tuscany we therefore recognize, two when it was fluid, two when level and dry, two when it was broken, and as I prove this fact concerning Tuscany by inference from many places examined by me, so do I affirm with reference to the entire earth from the descriptions of different places contributed by different writers. Unquote. Nicholas Steno, 1669. The prodromus of Nicholas Steno's dissertation concerning a solid body enclosed by process of nature within a solid. Before the distributions of fossils in time and space can be described, analyzed, and interpreted, fossil animals and plants must be described in their stratigraphic context. A rock stratigraphy is the essential framework that geologists, and particularly paleontologists, use to accurately locate fossil collections in both temporal and spatial frameworks. It seems, not surprisingly, that like a fine bottle of Italian wine, this can be traced back to the sunny pastel landscapes of Tuscany and the Renaissance. Leonardo's legacy. The origin of modern stratigraphy can be traced back to Leonardo da Vinci and his drawings. Pioneer work by the Danish polymath Nicholas Steno, Niels Stensen, in northern Italy during the late 17th century established the simple fact that older rocks are overlain by younger rocks if the sequence has not been inverted. His law of superposition is fundamental to all stratigraphic studies. In addition, Steno established in experiments that sediments are deposited horizontally and rock units can be traced laterally, often for considerable distances. Remarkable simple concepts to us now, but earth-shattering at the time. But what has this got to do with Da Vinci? Leonardo da Vinci, 1452 to 1519, is famous for many things, and his contributions to science are refreshingly modern when we look back at them. In his art, Da Vinci essentially rediscovered geologic perspective some 200 years before Steno during the Renaissance. In his drawings of the hills of Tuscany, Da Vinci portrayed a clear sequence of laterally continuous horizontal strata displaying the concept of superposition. Moreover, about a century after Steno, Giovanni Arduino recognized, again using superposition, three basically different rock suites in the Italian part of the Alpine Belt. A crystalline basement of older rocks, deformed during the late Paleozoic Variscan orogeny, was overlain unconformably by mainly Mesozoic limestones, deformed later during the Alpine orogeny. These, in turn, were overlain unconformably by poorly consolidated clastic rocks, mainly conglomerates. These three constituted his primary, secondary, and tertiary systems. The last term has been retained and formalized for the period of geological time succeeding the Cretaceous. These three divisions were used widely to describe rock successions elsewhere in Europe, showing the same patterns, but these three systems were not necessarily the time correlatives of the type succession in the Apennines. There is now a range of different types of stratigraphies based on, for example, lithostratigraphy, fossils, or biostratigraphy, tectonic units, such as thrust sheets, that's tectonostratigraphy, magnetic polarity, magnetostratigraphy, chemical composition, chemostratigraphy, discontinuities, allostratigraphy, seismic data, seismic stratigraphy, and depositional cycles, cyclo and sequence stratigraphies. The first two have most application in paleontological studies, though sequence and cyclostratigraphic frameworks are now providing greater insights into the climatic and environmental settings of fossil assemblages. Here, however, we concentrate on the lithostratigraphy rock framework, biostratigraphy, ranges of fossils, and chronostratigraphy, the time dimension. On the ground, lithostratigraphy. All aspects of stratigraphy start from the rocks themselves. Their order and succession, or lithostratigraphy, are the building blocks for any study of biological and geological change through time. Basic stratigraphic data are first assembled and mapped through the definition of a lithostratigraphic scheme at a local and regional level. Lithostratigraphic units are recognized on the basis of rock type. The formation, a rock unit that can be mapped and recognized across country, irrespective of thickness, is the basic lithostratigraphic category. A formation may comprise one or several related lithologies, different from units above and below, and usually given a geographic term. A member is a more local lithological development, usually part of a formation, whereas a succession of contiguous formations with some common characteristics is often defined as a group. Groups themselves may comprise a supergroup. All stratigraphic units must be defined at a reference or type section in a specified area. Unfortunately, the entire thickness of many lithostratigraphic units is rarely exposed. Instead of defining the whole formation, the bases of units are defined routinely in basal stratotype sections at a type locality, and the entire succession is then pieced together later. These sections, like yardsticks or the holotypes of fossils, act as the definitive section for the respective stratigraphic units. These are defined within a rock succession at a specific horizon, where is a lithologic boundary between two units. The precise boundary is marked on a stratigraphic log. Since the base of the succeeding unit defines the top of the underlying unit, only basal stratotypes need ever be defined. A stratigraphy, illustrated on a map and in measured sections, is required to monitor biological and geological changes through time, and thus it underpins the entire basis of Earth history. It is a simple but effective procedure. Successions of rocks are often divided by gaps or unconformities. These surfaces separate an older part of the succession that may have been folded or uplifted before the younger part was deposited. Commonly, there is a marked difference between the attitudes of older and younger rocks of the succession. But sometimes both parts appear conformable, and only after investigation of their fossil content is it clear that the surface represents a large gap in time. Early geologists thought the Earth was very young, but the Scottish scientist James Hutton, 1726 to 1797, noted the great cyclic processes of mountain uplift, followed by erosion, sediment transport by rivers, deposition in the sea, and then uplift again, and argued that such processes had been going on all through Earth's history. He wrote in his Theory of the Earth, 1795, that his understanding of geological time gave, quote, no vestige of a beginning, no prospect of an end, unquote. An example of Hutton's evidence is the spectacular unconformity at Sicker Point, Berwickshire, southern Scotland, where near-horizontal old red sandstone, Devonian, strata overlie steeply dipping Silurian gray wackies. Below the unconformity, Hutton recognized the, quote, ruins of an earlier world, unquote, establishing the immensity of geological time. This paved the way for our present concept of the Earth as a dynamic and changing system, a forerunner to the current Gaia hypothesis, which describes the Earth as a living organism in equilibrium with its biosphere. Although the Earth is not actually a living organism, this concept now forms the basis for Earth system science. Use of fossils, discovery of biostratigraphy. Our understanding of the role of fossils in stratigraphy can be traced back to the work of William Smith in Britain and Georges Cuvier and Alexandre French words in France. William Smith, 1769 to 1839, in the course of his work as a canal engineer in England, realized that different rock units were characterized by distinctive groups or assemblages of fossils. In a traverse from Wales to London, Smith encountered successively younger groups of rocks, and he documented the change from the trilobite-dominated assemblages of the lower Paleozoic of Wales through upper Paleozoic sequences with corals and thick Mesozoic successions with ammonites. Finally, he reached the molluscan faunas of the tertiary strata of the London Basin. In France, a little later, the noted anatomist Georges Cuvier, together with Alexandre Brongniart French things, 1770 to 1849, a leading mollusk expert of the time, ordered and correlated tertiary strata in the Paris Basin using series of mainly terrestrial vertebrate faunas, occurring in sequence, separated by supposed biological catastrophes. These early studies set the scene for biostratigraphic correlation. In broad terms, the marine Paleozoic is dominated by brachiopods, trilobites, and graptolites, whereas the Mesozoic assemblages have ammonites, belemnites, marine reptiles, and dinosaurs as important components, and the Cenozoic is dominated by mammals and molluscan groups, such as the bivalves and gastropods. This concept was later expanded by John Phillips, 1800 to 1874, who formally defined the three great eras, the Paleozoic, ancient life, Mesozoic, middle life, and Cenozoic, recent life, based on their contrasting fossils, each apparently separated by an extinction event. Many more precise biotic changes can, however, be tracked at the species and subspecies level through morphological changes along phylogenetic lineages. Very accurate correlation is now possible using a wide variety of fossil organisms. Biostratigraphy, the means of correlation. Biostratigraphy is the establishment of fossil-based successions and their use in stratigraphic correlation. Measurements of the stratigraphic ranges of fossils, or assemblages of fossils, form the basis for the definition of biozones, the main operational units of a biostratigraphy. But the use of such zone fossils is not without problems. Critics have argued that there can be difficulties with the identifications of some organisms flagged as zone fossils, and moreover, it may be impossible to determine the entire global range of a fossil or a fossil assemblage. So long as fossils can be reworked into younger strata by erosion and redeposition, but this is relatively rare. Nevertheless, to date, the use of fossils in biostratigraphy is still the best and usually the most accurate routine means of correlating and establishing the relative ages of strata. In order to correlate strata, fossils are normally organized into assemblage or range zones. There are several types of range zone. Some are used more often than others. The concept of the range zone is based on the work of Albert Oppel, 1831 through 1865. Oppel characterized successive lithographic units by unique associations of species. His zones were based on the consistent and exclusive occurrence of mainly ammonite species through Jurassic sections across Europe, where he recognized 33 zones in comparison with the 60 or so known today. His zonal scheme could be meshed with Alcide de Orbigny French things 1802 to 1857 stage classification of the system based on local sections with geographic terms, further developed by Friedrich Quensted, 1809 to 1889. Although William Smith had recognized the significance of fossils almost 50 years previously, Oppel established a modern and rigorous methodology that now underpins much of modern biostratigraphy. The known range of a zone fossil is the time between its first and last appearance in a rock section, or first appearance datum, FAD, and last appearance datum, LAD. Gotta love those acronyms. Box 2.1, zone fossils. The recognition and use of zone fossils is fundamental to biostratigraphic correlation. Fossil groups that were, one, rapidly evolving, two, widespread across different facies in biogeographic provinces, three, relatively common, and four, easy to identify, make the ideal zone fossils. In the early Paleozoic macrofauna, graptolites are the closest to being ideal zone fossils, whereas during the Mesozoic, the ammonites are most useful. The use of efficient zone fossils ensures that relatively short intervals of geologic time can be correlated, often with a precision of a few thousand years, over long distances through different facies belts around the world. In practice, there are no ideal zone fossils. Most long-range correlations involve use of intermediate faunas with mixed facies. For example, in the Ordovician and Silurian rocks, deep water facies are correlated by means of rapidly evolving and widespread graptolites. These fossils are rare in shallow water shelf deposits, where trilobites and brachiopods are much more common. Nevertheless, facies with both graptolite and shelly faunas may interdigitate in deep shelf and slope sequences, allowing correlation through these mixed facies from deep to shallow water. Parallels can be drawn with the neritic ammonites and benthic bivalves and gastropods of the Mesozoic seas. Microfossils are widely used for correlation in hydrocarbon exploration. The amount of rock available in drill cores or cuttings is usually limited, and a range of fossil microorganisms, including foraminiferans and radiolarians, together with dinoflagellates, spores, and pollen, form the basis for the correlation schemes used by petroleum companies. On a simple plot of space against time, an ideal zone fossil, such as an ammonite or a graptolite, will represent a thin horizontal band reflecting a brief time duration but a widespread spatial distribution. In reality, very few fossils approach the properties of an ideal zone fossil. The distribution of most is controlled to some degree by facies, the rocks that represent a particular life environment. A more typical facies fossil, such as a typical bivalve or gastropod, is not tightly constrained by time, but appears to occur in a particular facies belt. Clearly, it is unlikely that the entire global vertical range of the fossil zone fossil is represented in any one section. Nevertheless, in most cases, it is a workable approximation. This range, measured against the lithostratigraphy, is termed a biozone. It is the basic biostratigraphic unit, analogous to the lithostratigraphic formation. It, too, can be defined with reference to precise occurrences in the rock, and is defined again on the basis of a stratotype or basal stratotype section in a type area. Once biozones have been established, quantitative techniques may be used to understand the relationships between rock thickness and time, and to make links from locality to locality. Box 2.2, Quantitative Biostratigraphy. Quantitative stratigraphy can be traced back to the work of Charles Lyell, 1797 to 1875, who plotted what we would now call decay curves, analogous to the decay curves for radiogenic isotopes, for the molluscan and mammalian faunas of the tertiary basins of Northwest Europe. He wanted to look at evolution in reverse, quote, evolution in reverse, unquote, tracking back in time from the present day to see how proportions of living taxa changed the farther back you went into the rock record. He found that the proportions of modern to extinct forms declined the farther back in time he went, and he used this to define divisions in the tertiary system. For example, his older Pliocene included only 10% of mammals and 50% of mollusks living today, whereas his newer Pliocene had respective figures of 90% and 80%. These ratios were used as a method of correlating tertiary strata quantitatively. In recent years, driven by hydrocarbon and mineral exploration, a range of quantitative computer-based techniques have become available. Three, graphic correlation, seriation, and ranking and scaling, are outlined here. A rigorous, numerically-based mode of correlation was developed by Alan Shaw when he was working in the petroleum industry during the 1950s. Because hydrocarbon reservoir and source rocks occur within stratigraphic successions, it is essential that the rocks in oil and gas fields are accurately correlated. Geologists can then locate key horizons on the basis of biostratigraphy. Graphic correlation, by Shaw's method, requires fossil range data from two or more measured sections. Data of the first and last occurrences of fossil species are usually plotted against a measured stratigraphic section. This is repeated for a second section. Usually, only the more common taxa are plotted. A bivariate scattergram is then drawn with section 1 along the x-axis and section 2 along the y-axis. The first and last occurrences are then plotted as xy coordinates. For example, the x-coordinate represents the first appearance of species A along section 1, and the y-coordinate its first appearance in section 2. A regression line is fitted to all of the first appearance, FAD, and last appearance, LAD, coordinates. This line of stratigraphic correlation can be used for interpolation, permitting the accurate correspondence of all levels in the two sections. A composite standard section can be constructed and refined by correlating it against additional actual sections. Biostratigraphers also use techniques established by archaeologists in the 1800s. Seriation is an ordering technique designed to analyze gradients. Usually, the gradients are temporal, but biogeographic and environmental data have been investigated by seriation. Biostratigraphers tend to enter the ranges of organisms on range charts as sequential fads. In simple terms, seriation shuffles the original data matrix until stratigraphically higher taxa on the left-hand side of the matrix and the stratigraphically lower taxa are on the right. Any stratigraphic gradients in the data are then clearly visible and can be interpreted. Ranking and scaling, RASC, is a method of arranging a series of biostratigraphic events in order and of estimating the stratigraphic distance between such events. The technique requires only first and last appearances measured in meters in a stratigraphic section, perhaps an exposure or oil well. Events are first ranked or ordered based on the majority of relative occurrences, and then the distances between such events are calculated. End box. This is all very well, of course, but the fossil record is rarely complete. Only a small percentage of potential fossils are ever preserved. Stratigraphic ranges can also be influenced by the Signor-Lips effect. Signor and Lips, 1982, the observation that the stratigraphic ranges are always shorter than the true range of a species, i.e., you never find the last fossil of a species. So incomplete sampling means that the disappearances of many taxa may be smeared back in time from the actual point of disappearance. The Signor-Lips effect is particularly relevant to mass extinctions, when this backsmearing can make relatively sudden extinction events appear gradual. This can be corrected to some extent by the use of statistical techniques to establish confidence intervals that are modeled on known sampling quality. Many different animal and plant groups are used in biostratigraphic correlation. Graptolites and ammonites are the best known for their and most reliable macrofossils within their respective biozones, as short as 1 million years and 25,000 years, respectively. The most unusual zone fossils are perhaps those of pigs, which have been used to subdivide time zones in the Quaternary rocks of East Africa, where hominid remains occur. Microfossil groups such as conodonts, dinoflagellates, foraminiferans, and plant spores are now widely used, particularly in petroleum exploration. Microfossils approach the ideal time zone, or the ideal zone fossils, since they are usually common in small samples such as drill cores and chippings of many sedimentary lithologies, and many groups are widespread and rapidly evolving. The only drawback is that some techniques used to extract them from rocks and sediments are specialized, involving acid digestion and thin sections. Dividing up geological time, chronostratigraphy. Geological time was divided by the efforts of the British, French, and German geologists between 1790 and 1840. The divisions were first made for practical reasons. One of the first systems to be named was, the Carboniferous, coal-bearing, a unit of rock that early industrialists were keen to identify. In a mad rush in the 1830s, Roderick Murchison, 1792 and 1871, and Adam Sedgwick, 1785 to 1873, collaborated and tussled over the Lower Paleozoic. Sedgwick named the Cambrian and Murchison named the Silurian, both based on sections in Wales. Each claimed the middle ground for his system, so what Murchison called the Lower Silurian, Sedgwick called the Upper Cambrian. This territorial claim was later resolved when Charles Lapworth, 1842 to 1920, who agreed with neither of them, and named the contentious rock successions the Ordovician in 1879. Ironically, the Ordovician is one of the longest and most lithologically diverse of the geological systems, but it was only formally accepted by the international community in 1960. A problem with many of the original definitions of geological systems was that they were separated from one another by unconformities. For the early workers, unconformities provided a convenient break between systems, and more importantly, it satisfied their view that the major divisions of Earth's history could be divided up by global catastrophic events. Unfortunately, many of these unconformities turned out to be only regional breaks that occurred in Europe and not elsewhere. The bases of most systems were then represented by stratigraphic gaps, and gaps provide a poor basis for the global correlation of systemic boundaries. All of the system boundaries have been or are currently being reinvestigated by working groups of the International Union of the Geological Sciences, the IUGS. The potential of each base for international correlation must be maximized. Thus, the traditional bases of these systems must be placed within intervals of continuous sedimentation, with diverse and abundant faunas and floras in geographically and politically accessible areas that can be conserved and protected. Ideally, the sections should have escaped metamorphism and tectonism. Chronostratigraphy, or global standard stratigraphy, is one of the most fundamental of all stratigraphic concepts. Everyday intervals of time, such as seconds, minutes, and hours, are based on a universal time signal from an atomic clock. Units of geological time, such as the epoch and the period, are much longer and of uneven lengths. The only standards available for the definition of these intervals are the rock successions themselves. Thus, the rocks of the type section in the type area for the Silurian system act as an international standard for the Silurian period, the time during which that system was deposited. The base of a chronostratigraphic interval is defined in a unique stratotype section in an area using the concept of a golden, quote, golden spike, unquote, or marker point. All of the usual criteria for a workable stratotype section must, of course, be satisfied. The golden spike, which represents a point in time in the rock section and an instant in geological time, is then driven into the section, at least in theory. In practice, the spike is usually adjusted to coincide with the first appearance of a distinctive, recognizable fossil within a well-documented lineage. The ranges of fossils occurring across the boundary are documented in detail as aids to correlating within the section and with sections elsewhere. Establishing stratotypes and golden spikes requires international agreement and can sometimes be hard to achieve. This horizon will then be the global standard section and point, GSSP, for this stratotype. Box 1.3, the Ordovician, a system on the move. The Ordovician system was born out of controversy, with Charles Lapworth taking the disputed overlapping strata between Sedgwick's Cambrian system and Murchison's Silurian system. Despite the best efforts of British specialists, they and many other international experts have pointed out that, although the classic British series and stages have wide global usage, they were based largely on endemic shelly faunas with only local and regional distributions. Some units are bounded by disconformities, minor gaps in deposition where rocks below and above are oriented similarly, but contrast to the larger chunks of time represented by unconformities, and some have significant overlaps and with adjacent series. Moreover, many of the key sections are located in poorly exposed sections. In order to assemble a consolidated chronostratigraphy that would work internationally, definitions in new sections were necessary. First, it was decided in the 1980s by the International Subcommission on Ordovician Stratigraphy, a group of highly qualified experts drawn from all over the world, that basal stratotypes for chronostratigraphic units should be correlated by means of conodonts and graptolites, the most effective of all Paleozoic zone fossils. Second, there should be only three series, defined as lower, middle, and upper. And third, new sections must be sought to define a new set of global stages. The first was ratified in 1987, and the last in 2007. This has not been without rancor. Colleagues from around the world have clashed noisily at meetings defending their own sections, and sometimes national pride and access to further research funding may have influenced voting. Nevertheless, a consensus is emerging, and all of the new stages are defined and in place based on diverse sections such as a road section and riverbank in South China, the Hernantian, and the coast of western Newfoundland, the Tremadocian. Some older names, such as the Hernantian and Tremadocian, have been retained with slightly different definitions, whilst some are new, such as the Floian and Sandbian, both based on stratotype locations in Sweden. This new structure is already providing a much more accurate time framework to describe, analyze, and model Ordovician Earth systems. The Wenlock Epoch time was one of the first intervals of geologic time to be defined with reference to a stratotype section for the Wenlock series, rock. A lithostratigraphy was first established in the historic type area by definition of formations and members. On the basis of detailed collecting through the stratigraphy, a succession of biozones was then defined based on the ranges of characteristic graptolite faunas. Finally, a succession of stages was established together with two chronozones. This remains the international yardstick for Wenlock time. When discussing geological time, we generally use the adjectives early, mid, and late. But when dealing with rock, the use of lower, middle, and upper is more appropriate.